Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray the chaplet. Let's pray for your needs, whatever they may be. And I really want to pray for our country. Really feel drawn to do that. And look, I'm not here to frighten anyone. I just think of, you know, what Our Lady of Fatima said, how she talked about how war was the fruit of sin. She gave us a solution, right? She said prayer and penance was really the solution. You can disengage it. She asked for prayer of the rosary in particular. I also believe that this chaplet is so important. And these are weapons that we can use today in the present moment. And I invite you to join me now to pray. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for the Biden administration. Let's pray for Xi Jinping. Let's pray for Volodymyr Zelensky and Vladimir Putin. Let's pray for the unrest we're seeing. Let's pray for the dysfunction and the loss of virtue in our country. You know, there's a couple stories Maggie and I were just talking about. One, you know, we've got natural calamities taking place all over the country. But also, I was notified by one of my colleagues here of a deadly mass shooting in Nashville. Maggie, I know you lived in Nashville for a while. You know, why don't you share with everyone that story? It's really quite horrible. I think it's a first, too. I don't remember too many female shooters. It's kind of an anomaly.
It is kind of an anomaly. I used to drive past the school all the time. It's a really beautiful area. So I'm surprised to hear this happening. It sounds like from these reports, they think maybe it was a former student there. They're not sure how she got in the building because all the doors are technically locked. But I think if you're a former student, you kind of know where to tailgate or where to wait, you know, for an open door. So I want to lift this whole situation up. It sounds like a number of people have passed away from this, 6 killed, including 3 children. It just makes me sad.
It's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't know what's driving these shootings. I mean, you're hearing about them all the time, but to see a woman, I hear she was very heavily armed, raises a lot of questions. Let's pray. We'll pray for her family, right? We'll pray for the families of those shot. We'll pray for the trauma and the PTSD that so many people are going to be having as a result of this. And let's pray for the healing our country needs. We are a wounded nation. There was a weatherman from WTVA in Tupelo, it was Missouri, is where that took place, or was Mississippi? Mississippi is where it took place. He actually prayed live on air after this horrible calamity took place. Listen to this.
We got a new scan coming in here as we speak. Oh man, like north side of Amory, this is coming in. Oh man. Dear Jesus, please help them. Amen. Okay. So, this is going to track along.
I just wanted to play that because I thought that was super cool. Here's a guy on television, and he invoked the name of the Lord, and it was a simple prayer. It's like, we pray, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, please help them. It's a beautiful, simple prayer. Let's pray for the victims of all these natural calamities. I was sharing a little bit earlier, and again, this particular apparition site is one that is under investigation. Who knows what's going to happen? But I was struck by it because in recent months, the Virgin was saying that humanity is approaching a crossroads, that, you know, let this be a wonderful time of prayer, you know, conversion, penance, all these messages coming from our Lady. This was perhaps one of the shortest messages in years, or maybe even ever. I don't know. Just a couple words. The March 25th message was, dear children, may this be a time of prayer for you. That's it. So what does that portend? Where are we? You know, we see Russia now, you know, threatening to move nuclear weapons closer to the border. And we've got, you know, Kim Jong-un talking about a nuclear tsunami. We've got lots of stuff going on. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that you and I have. It is the most powerful weapon, and it will mitigate and it will alleviate these tensions. It'll bring peace. But I really want to invite you to amp up your prayer as we finish Lent, as we approach Divine Mercy Easter, and then Divine Mercy Sunday, the last Sunday of Easter. Let's really implore God's mercy over this country, that he protects us from degeneration, from disaster, from disease, from war. I know we all have our own personal problems, and we all pray for those particular needs. I invite you to join me now as we pray. We'll pray for our nation. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for peace in the world. Let's pray for those miracles that you personally are seeking. And before we start, Maggie, I just want to share one personal intention. Well, two personal intentions. A friend of mine is going under another heart procedure, and I just want to pray for him and that God will be merciful. Praying for you, Doug, if you are happening to be listening, we're going to gather together and really ask God to touch you. He's carrying a big cross with these health problems, as many people are. Got another email from one of our board members, and just put on my radar. I didn't realize this. There's a 15-year-old girl in 10th grade at a Catholic all-girls school in the D.C. area that has now gone missing. And what an absolute terror that must be for the parents. And I just pray for her own protection. Her parents, of course, are besides themselves. But I won't give her a name. I don't know whether we should or not, but I'll give her first name. Her name is Fiorella. So let's just pray for her. 15 years old, 10th grade, is gone missing. So just a few of the many, many intentions that are coming in. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. I'll take our first call today from... Is it Rosario? Yes, in Shafter, California. Hi, Rosario.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am calling to ask for prayers for a young man, 21 years old, who is sick with cancer, and he's just doing really bad right now. So we're asking for prayers for his soul as he transitions from this life to the next.
Okay.
And for grace and strength for his family through this time.
Yeah, so difficult. Well, thank you.
His name is Matthew Gracia.
Thank you for calling. We'll pray for Matthew right now, and we'll lift him up. Lord, we give you Matthew Gracia and his whole family, all those with terminal cancer. This man is only 21 years old. So, Lord, I don't give up on him. I know the doctors might, but I ask today... for those miracles that we all seek. I think back to our gospel reading this past Sunday where Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. He was in there days. And I was struck by one part of that reading, you know, where Christ prayed. He says, Father, I know you hear me. You know, I know you always hear me. And for the sake of what I said to these people, bring Lazarus back to life. And he did. He said, Lazarus, come out. So cancer may seem like a death sentence. And I just want to re-echo the Lord's words. Lord, I know you hear me. I know you always hear me. I pray for Matthew Gracia right now. I pray for a miracle. And if it's your will that he goes home to you, then I pray for the peace and consolation for his family. And I pray for all those who are seeking those miracles, who need those new beginnings, Lord, those new lives, those blessings, those new starts. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Brittany in Chandler, Arizona. Hi, Brittany. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. Go right ahead.
Okay, great. So I'm just calling about my 10-year-old daughter. She wanted me to call for her. Uh-huh. I'm going through a custody case with her biological father. Her name is Sarah, and she views my husband as her father. She's mm-hmm. been there since birth. Her biological father's been on and off, and hasn't treated her well, and she really wants him to go away, and she's been having really bad anxiety and has been very depressed lately, and she's always been on the honor roll until this year. Now she's struggling in school with her grades and her behavior, and I wanted to pray for her intention and this intention and for her protection within the legal system and from the influences from demons and the devil.
Okay. I'm sorry for what you're going through as a mother. I really, my heart goes out to you. Brittany, I really...
Thank you.
We're going to pray for you, and not just me. I mean, we have so many people right now. Their hearts ache for you and for your daughter, and they've been perhaps down the same path. We're going to continue to pray, and let's pray for that miracle right now. We'll pray for that custody. And Lord, I give you Brittany right now, this mother whose heart aches for her daughter. I pray for that daughter. I pray for all those children who have not been treated well, all those who have suffered the collateral damage of divorce. And I just pray for this family. Satan hates the family. He hates the family. He wants to divide. He wants to wound. He wants to destroy. And Lord, I just pray against any demonic force that's here right now. And I just ask that in a special way, you just bless and you restore and you allow this to work out. And Lord, you said encourage souls who come in contact to trust in my infinite mercy. And you know how if they have confidence in me, I'll do anything for them. So Lord, I have confidence in you. I ask right now for a very peaceful resolution to this situation. And I ask for all those who are crying out, Lord, that you hear their prayers as well as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Maria. Before we go to Maria, who is in Pleasanton, California, let me go to Maggie. Maggie is monitoring, of course, your Twitter feeds and intentions. And let me remind you, if you don't get through on the phone lines for some reason, they happen to fill up pretty quickly, you can always send us a tweet at Drew Mariani Show. That's at Drew Mariani Show. You can always tweet me at Drew Mariani as well. But Maggie will bring those intentions to everybody's prayer. So Maggie, thanks for doing that. What can we pray for today?
A number of people have tweeted us, Drew, asking for prayers for those involved in this shooting in Nashville and to end all shootings and violence in the hearts of man. Hong wrote to us and said, please pray for my brother Hung, who passed away unexpectedly yesterday afternoon. He was loved and respected by everyone around him, but was away from the church and the sacraments for over 40 years. I pray that God would have mercy on his poor soul. Thank you, Jesus. Peg wrote to us and said, asking prayers for my dear friend Joan, who has doctor's appointments on Wednesday morning, praying that all test results be negative and that there be no cancer, and Joan herself would be filled with peace and divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. This was an interesting one, Drew. I know we get these every now and then. I just wanted to lift this up. Josephus wrote to us and said, I'm thanking God in his mercy and asking him humbly to bestow upon me and my family the opportunity to be able to work and migrate to the U.S.
Wow.
In God's time. Thank you so much, Drew, and all you do for us. And lastly, I just want to lift up my mom got COVID last week and my dad got COVID over the weekend.
Oh, man.
So I know he's just dealing with that. So I want to lift them both up for healing.
Mild case with your dad or?
I think mild for both of them, but just really fatigued.
It's second time though, right?
Second time. Yeah. And you know, lots of, you know, yeah, phlegm gets you.
Yeah, it's when it's the respiratory area. Well, let's pray. I'll pray for anyone with COVID. COVID's still real. I'm going to pray for anyone with respiratory or pulmonary issues. I'm going to pray with anyone who is sick or under the weather right now. And Lord, I just, you know our intentions. You know what's in our hearts. So I give you those souls. And I want to add to our mix Maria, who's praying with us in Pleasanton, California. Hi, Maria. Good afternoon.
Hey, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to ask everyone to pray for my daughter. She's suffering from very bad anxiety. And I would like to ask everyone to pray for completely healing of her health from emotional, spiritual, physical healing. And would like to ask more prayers for my family because so many people are sick from different problems, diseases, what have you. So thank you so much for praying for me, for my family, for everyone. God bless you.
God bless you, Maria. Thank you for calling. What a beautiful prayer, though. Lord, I would pray for her daughter, too. Pray for all of our daughters. But I pray for her emotional healing, for the family's healing. Where there's division, Lord, I ask for healing. Where there has been anxiety, where there's been depression, where there's been abuse, I just ask you, enter in today and send your healing spirit to broken families and to those who are in need of emotional, psychological healing. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Rachel in St. Charles, Illinois. It's a beautiful town. Hi, Rachel. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Good afternoon. I'm asking for prayers today. There are two deceptive bills they're trying to pass in Illinois this Wednesday that are direct attacks on pro-life pregnancy clinics that would force them to give women information on abortion. I'm actually on the board of director for a local crisis pregnancy clinic and just putting our faith in God that he will protect us and not let this bill pass.
Well, let's pray for that right now. I'm so grateful for your call. And prayer changes things, right? I believe that. And Lord, this is evil. And I believe your promise to me, your promise to all of us, that no matter what we ask of, if it's according to your will, it will be granted. It will be granted. And I really do pray for, I pray for these nefarious, evil, pro-death bills, Lord. I pray for an end to the culture of death, and I pray for protection over all those trying to protect the most vulnerable. And I know this is a prayer for life. Faustina would pray it all the time, and just pray for any pregnant mother right now thinking about terminating her child, and any woman who's made the mistake, that she may know your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from George, praying with us in Staten, Oregon. Hey, George, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for the divine providence and special grace given to you to do this amazing show, and I pray for the intentions of all our relevant radio Divine Mercy family listeners, and for a friend of mine, Chris Hewling, who's in hospice in Vancouver, Washington, for my cousin John Bolton, who's in assisted living here, and I'm going to go inside and visit him after this, and for all those who weigh from the faith, who are my classmates, friends, and family, and for Drew and his wonderful wife, Kathy. Anyway,
George, you're a good man. We'll pray for you and for your brother. George was actually on a pilgrimage with me not too long ago, and you work for the Postal Service, right, George? Am I remembering you correctly?
Right, I do, and my brother Ronald is getting discouraged because he doesn't have much help farming, so I pray that he gets help farming and don't look at me too much because I'm much of a farmer, but he's a great guy. He just butchered a wild boar we found on our property, so Thanksgiving for that good-tasting meat and everything. God bless you, Drew.
All right, George, thank you. I love the beauty and the simplicity of George's prayer. Good man, big heart. Lord, I do pray for his friend in hospice, and I pray for those that you're calling home. I ask for mercy, that you come as a merciful Savior, not as a just judge. You vanquish any demonic force that might be near them, any demons trying to rob them in their final yes. I pray for their families and those that will be left behind. And I just pray for every one of George's intentions. And I take George, will unite his intentions to that of Catherine, who's praying with us in Rhode Island. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to have prayers said for Kenneth Warren. Okay. He left the church over 40 years ago. He has since died. He refused the last rites.
Oh.
The anointment of the sick and the last confession in the last moments of his life.
Yeah, I just, that's so hard for me, Catherine, to get my head around why you would deny that. I mean, God honors our free will, but let's pray for him. I'm grateful for your call. You know, 40 years away from the faith, we don't know what happens between this side of life and the next. And I love the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I love the promises that Jesus himself gave to us. And he says, by your prayers, by your insistent prayers, and that's what we're going to do right now, you can obtain for souls like him, you know, trusting God's mercy when they need it the most and they have it the least. And that the eternal salvation for certain souls depends on your prayer. And, you know, we all have loved ones. Maybe they didn't get last rites. Maybe they were away from the faith. Maybe we wonder if God was merciful to them. The Lord told St. Faustine, he says, the soul is often illumined by a ray of God's powerful final grace. And that soul, even though from the outside everything looks outwardly, there's no sign either of repentance or contrition, like in this case, it can turn to God with such a power and love that in an instant it can receive from God forgiveness and be with him. You know, they may no longer react to external things, may not show signs of that contrition, but what happens in the soul and between God, something we don't know. So I don't you ever want to be disappointed about your loved one not getting the last rites, or, you know, somebody dying you're concerned about. Just pray, we'll trust them to God. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hey, before you run, let me just fill you in on something. I just heard a report about an alleged Eucharistic miracle in Connecticut. I don't know if you're aware of it. I'll fill you in on all the details when I return.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Welcome back.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, welcome back. It is great to be here with you. I mean that. You know, I had the great privilege years ago of witnessing a Eucharistic miracle, a host that actually bled. And I've had friends who witnessed these. I know priests that have experienced this. And it sounds like something would have taken place 1,000 years ago, right? Oh, that doesn't happen in our own day. God, in his mercy, is always reaching out to us. And he's always, I guess, trying to take the spiritual blinders off our eyes to let us know that he does exist, that he's an intimate part of our life, that he loves us immeasurably, that he gave us this gift of the Eucharist. And these Eucharistic miracles have taken place across the centuries. We are right now in a time of Eucharistic revival, right? Our nation's bishops have selected Blessed Carlo Acutis, the teenager, you know, the video gamer, computer programmer, is the patron saint of this. He put together that great Eucharistic presentation. He had unbelievable devotion to the Eucharist, and he documented Eucharistic miracles that took place around the world. And if you want to learn more, I'll put a plug in for him. Check out carloacutis.com, and then click on the old English flag, and you can learn more about Eucharistic miracles. But I'm not sure who's taking care of that site this day, but go ahead and check it out. News came over the weekend. I heard about a report on Friday that the Archdiocese of Hartford, that's in Connecticut, they're looking into a possible miracle that happened at St. Thomas Church in Thomaston, Connecticut, which is part of St. Maximilian Kolbe Parish. On March 5th, that was the third Sunday of Lent, there was a priest, Father Joseph Crowley. He told the congregation at the end of Mass that one of the extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist was running out of hosts. So when the ministers suspected they were running out of hosts to pass, Father Crowley said he looked around to find more, and the minister looked down, and all of a sudden there were more hosts. Right? They were just there. So Father told the congregation, you know, God duplicated himself in the ciborium. The Archdiocese has got to investigate this. How they prove this as authentic, I don't know. But it made me think of the multiplication miracle that took place when Christ took bread, right? And he multiplied. He took fish. He multiplied them. There was one other Eucharistic miracle. I'll share it with you very quickly. And then Father Jason Kolchinski is going to be, Kolchinski, I should say, is going to be stopping by. He's witnessed this phenomenon many times. We always talk to him about it, but he's a Catholic priest. I want to get his take on it as well. It's happened several times. There was one, I haven't validated this, so there's one in the Philippines, and this is back in the 17th century. There was another one that supposedly took place to, I believe it was St. Gerard Magella as well. Somebody was mentioning it to me. I haven't researched that, but let me tell you what happened in the Philippines. There's a story known as the miracle of the Holy Communion or the multiplication of the host of Betis. And apparently a group of Catholic faithful were in this town. They were about to receive communion during the Mass when the priest realized he didn't have enough hosts for the attendees. And I'm sure Father may have had that experience. Quite often, I think a priest might just break the host and kind of make him stretch, right? But he decided to break whatever available hosts were left into smaller pieces to make sure everybody had at least a small piece. So as he distributed the pieces, now this is pretty amazing. The host began to multiply in his hands, and he was able to distribute enough to everyone. So they received not the broken host, but a full-size host, a full-size. And the miracle, here's the thing. It was witnessed by numerous people that were in attendance, and it was widely reported throughout the region. The site where the miracle occurred soon became a very popular destination for pilgrims and devotees to the Eucharist. And it's just one of many, many Eucharistic miracles that have taken place across the ages. I'm joined today by Father Jason Kolchinski. He's a pastor of Holy Martyrs Parish in Orland, Pennsylvania. And we often talk to him about St. Philomena. He's the spiritual director of the Universal Archconfraternity of St. Philomena. He's seen miracles like this before, and he joins me today. Just give us some perspective. Father, thank you for your time. Good afternoon.
Drew, it's great to be with you again. It's been a while, and it's funny when this news broke and I heard it, I was with a friend, and they said to me, well, Drew's going to be calling you to talk about the multiplication of food. And really funny, I was just talking about you to someone at the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help this afternoon.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because, are you going to be going back up again, or you were there before?
No, I've never been there, but you know, I've heard about it, and you know, you saw the exposition of relics at the Relevate conference
That's where I saw you. We were in Cotahawkin, Pennsylvania. Is that where we're, that's
in Doylestown at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa.
Yes,
in Doylestown.
And so
back then, so now I have talk about multiplications. There are about 50 more relics in this collection. And so I'm hoping for something from the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help to include. I said, just send me a handful of soil from the apparition site. That'd be great.
Well, I'm going to be there in May. So if you don't have it by then, let me know. I'll get you something. All right.
All right. Great.
I'll be sure to do that. That'd be great. So sure. I mean, have you ever run into this problem, Father, where you're distributing the Eucharist and there wasn't enough?
Absolutely. You know, and you're distributing, and you're right. You break them into smaller pieces. You know, I had a wonderful experience of a man. It's a long story. He was not Catholic, and his entire family wasn't. They prayed for years and years and years, and on his deathbed, I was receiving him into the church and confirming him and then giving communion. And so as soon as I'm about to give him communion, and he says, wait a minute. So his family was not in the room because we had just had confession, et cetera. And so he said, you know, I was at all of my children's first communions. Now they have to be at mine.
Wow.
And so it was very touching. And so they all these people come in. Now I'm breaking the host into as many pieces as I can so that all of his children now could receive Holy Communion with him at his first communion. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. But I mean, when that happens, you know, you've got a line of people, and it's like anything, you know, your heart starts to race. You're like, you know, are we going to have enough? What am I going to do? You look around, does anybody else have, you know, more hosts in the ciborium in the next line over there? But you know, so this this is amazing. You know, I've never experienced it with the Eucharist, but you know, I have with something else.
Hey, you'll have to share that story. You know, we always people come and go different times of the day. We always have new listeners. Since the last time you were with me, we've added maybe four new radio stations just in the state of Michigan, up in the Detroit area, and some other, maybe Tucson, Arizona, as well. A lot have come on board. It's great to see the Relevant Radio continue to expand.
Exactly.
Let's talk about that. We can talk Eucharistic miracles. Because I've, you know, I've seen him bleed. There's these multiplication phenomena, but it all goes to one thing: that God is the author of everything. He's the author of the laws of nature, and He can suspend them. He can multiply hosts. He can multiply bread. He can allow statues to weep or the host to bleed. He can heal. He can raise from the dead, as we just heard this past Sunday. But put it into perspective. Maybe share your story, because this phenomenon of multiplication is just an amazing one.
So that was we've talked about this before. Now, there's another story for another day, the multiplication of the relics of St. Philomena. And we'll talk about that another day.
You'll have to share that, too. That's
fascinating. I heard it recently that happened to another saint as well, but as they were sending them out around the world, they were not diminishing. But so they, what happened that in my experience, I wasn't actually physically present, but it was one of the day that I was, actually the day that I was being appointed a director of the Archconfraternity of St. Philomena in the United States. And it was a mass and a conference. And so we were planning, the rector of the shrine in Italy was coming, and the international director from Scotland was coming, and people from all over the country, priests from Louisiana, from California. It was this big mass that was going on at, it was St. Philomena's church where I was living. And so we were planning the day, and it was going to be mass and then followed by a conference. And in between, we were going to serve lunch to all of the pilgrims and the visitors. And so, the ladies got together and, decided they could pull this off. And they were thinking, well, we'll serve, it'd be really easy. We'll serve meatball sandwiches. And so they kind of figured, we're thinking, we have no idea how many people are going to come. I mean, we're this little church and out of the way place. And we kind of figured, well, if we get 250 people to show up at this conference, that would be excellent. So that was kind of their goal in the kitchen. They were going to prepare food for 250 people. And so when before Mass started, the choir is rehearsing, and the people are coming into the church, and it's filling up. And the church, seated maybe 350 people. And there were people standing in the aisles. There were people in the vestibule. It was really, it was just amazing. We didn't, again, not knowing what to expect. This was an amazing blessing. So as we finished Mass, we ended up going long. The Monsignor was preaching in Italian, and then it was being translated. And actually, your friend Dr. Mark Miravalli was there as the deacon of the Mass, another great fan of St. Philomena. And so now we're going over to the hall for this conference, and there are people there, and there are people making cords of St. Philomena, and some other people displaying other religious goods. And so as the hall is filling up, the ladies in the kitchen start to get that feeling, that in the pit of your stomach, that okay, we're not prepared for this. I'm not ready at all. And so they said, well, there was nothing they could do. So they, I'm guessing they were cutting the meatballs in half, but so they're making the sandwiches, and they said they knew for sure that there was not enough food. And they kept serving, and the end of the day came, and everybody ate, everybody was happy, and Monsignor blessed all the religious goods and blessed the pilgrims, and everybody went home. And I went over to the kitchen in the hall to thank the ladies for all their hard work, the preparation and serving, and they were like, they were cleaning up, and they said, well, Father, you have to hear this. We knew we didn't have enough food. That was clear. And they said, they kept serving, and every time they served the last meatball, someone would open the oven, and there was another pan of meatballs in there.
I love it.
And they said, nobody knows where they came from. And the end, they packed up bags of meatballs for me to put in my freezer that I had for months.
Just like
the story in the gospel. I mean, I thought, this is amazing. These people wouldn't make this up.
No kidding. But I think about it, I often say, I think about the wine. The water turned into wine by Christ. Mm-hmm. He's the master sommelier. I mean, that must have been the best wine ever. Maggie and I were saying, man, those meatballs of yours must have been pretty good. if they get miraculously multiplied, they're killer meatballs. I'll tell you what, hold on with me, Father, just a minute. I got to take a short pause. When we come back, We'll pick it up. We'll talk more. If you want to join us, too, you can dial in. I only have Father maybe another 10 minutes, but the toll-free for you is 888-914-9149. Feel free to call with your question, your story. Be part of the conversation. I'll be right back.
Wish you could hit rewind on that convo? Listen to the podcast on relevantradio.com or anywhere podcasts can be found.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to Drew Mariani on Relevant Radio.
It's great to hang out with you. And I love these stories. I stumbled across a story about an alleged Eucharistic miracle. It was a case of where communion hosts had multiplied due to a shortage. Father Ubald, you know him, right? His cause, or I think they're trying to open his cause. He had a Eucharistic miracle occur to him in this country. And I don't know if I'm at liberty to say where it was, but it bled. There was a bishop at the same location that was saying Mass where it bled. A friend of mine was shooting a documentary, and he actually recorded this Eucharistic miracle. He caught it on tape. I was in South America and was able to witness the great Eucharistic miracle of Betania. See, I take some of it for granted, probably should not do that. But God's always, I said, reaching out to us. And he shows us in miraculous ways. I mean, from hosts that bleed to levitate to multiply. The Old Testament and the New Testament are just rife with these examples. I think about the multiplication in the Gospels, right? You think about the multiplication in the Old Testament. There's a very famous story of the prophet. Was it Elijah? Who was the prophet? It was Elijah, Elias. Who was directed to stay and live with that widow. You remember the story? And her son, he not only healed her son of a sickness, but they had very little food left, and he multiplied it until the drought passed and spared the prophet as well as the family and everybody there. I mean, it's Old Testament. You go to the New Testament, you know, to go across the centuries. You see these things. Father Jason Kulchinski is a longtime friend of the show, and he has seen this phenomenon personally. I've seen food multiply on the Mexican border when I was there bringing food to the homeless. And I don't say that in a vain or prideful. I just want you to know that God can do anything. And I think my formation, part of why the Lord allowed me to experience so much, is so I could speak definitively to you. If you're in a time of crisis, that God does exist, he hears your prayers, and he can work a miracle in your life. That's what this is all about. That's really what it's all about. And Father, you were sharing before the break just a little bit about St. Philomena. And to be honest with you, I've seen a lot of things in my life. Statues weep and cry, food multiply. I've never heard of relics multiplying. You got to share part of that story and maybe a little bit about your exhibit on Philomena, this powerhouse saint.
Sure, sure. So Philomena became very popular very quickly when her tomb was found in 1802, and people just praying to her. And so they do still very often. They would send the relics to churches for veneration. And they said they were preparing many relics, and they had, you know, what would they found in the tomb, the remains of St. Philomena. And it's translated poorly in one book. They call it bone dust, and you can imagine the dust you'd find in a coffin when the body decays. And they said they were preparing all these relics, and they were putting them in those little fakas that they go in. And they said no matter how many they made and sent out, it never diminished. There was always the same amount of the remains of Saint Philomena, and they said they reportedly did a test. They said they took the remains of another saint, and you know, well, can we make relics of these? Will that happen? Well, it didn't happen. It wasn't the same thing. But the Philomena, the relics apparently multiplied. They never ran out. And you can there are relics of Saint Philomena all over the world. She was just wildly popular because of the miracles that were attributed to her. Right as soon as her body was found, the miracle started. We've talked about that many times as well, and so so I have a relic from the shrine here. Well, this one's in my office, but as I said, with this exposition of relics that is in what was our school library when the school was open, that we have, there are over 200 relics there now, and people are coming from all over. I have four groups lined up in the next couple of weeks, coming in just for a day to come and pray, to visit. And so if you want to see some pictures of that, you can go to my parish website, holymartyrschurch.org. Holy Martyrs Plural Church, all one word, .org. And you'll see on the webpage, there's a flyer advertising this relic exposition. And if you click on that, it'll take you to the page. You'll see some of the relics that are there. And you mentioned Blessed Carlo Acutis. And so I do have third-class relics of Blessed Carlo. He's the Eucharistic miracles. He's the patron of this revival because he was the one who assembled the on the internet Eucharistic miracles. So I think there are, 150 or so of these placards that describe each of the miracles, and they're traveling around to different parishes. And in some cases, his first class relic of Carlo is also traveling with that. And so I was able to prepare, a cloth that was blessed, and then touched to that, and it made third class relics. So you can see all that on our website. See the pictures. If you're in the area here somewhere and you want to come by, you can contact us. People just are finding out about this and just ringing the doorbell and saying, can I see the relics? And I'm like, sure. If I'm free, I'll take you over to the chapel. Yeah.
And Father, there's quite often these relics of these saints. For those who don't know, they can be, a piece of hair, could be a piece of bone. In most cases, that's what it is, if they're first-class
sure.
relics.
Sure.
Most of these saints are known for special intercession. Like Peregrine's known for being the patron of cancer, right? Anthony mm-hmm. of lost things, et cetera.
Sure.
Do people come seeking healing for particular ailments there, problems of the eyes or relationships or...
They do, and they'll often ask, who is the patron for this or that or the other thing, and can you do you have a card, a relic card? Can you prepare one? Very often they do. They come, and actually, people have told me different times when we would set this exposition up. We would set up in the church a couple times a year. Now it's more permanent, and people would tell me that they believed that they were cured, that they were helped in some way, spiritually very often, but sometimes even physically. They say praying in the presence of the relics that they actually received a cure or a special favor. So it's an amazing kind of thing. And people will tell me, they say, when they walk in the door, they say you can feel that there's something really sacred here. So you walk into the presence of 200 relics of the saints, it's kind of amazing, And I guess the whole cult of relics, because you would go and you might go pray at someone's tomb. Now I've never been to the Holy Land, but I've brought bits of the Holy Land, right here to my parish. You can come and pray in the presence of the relic of the True Cross, the relic of the purple cloak that Jesus wore. There's a stone from Calvary. And then I know a gentleman who is from Bethlehem, from the real Bethlehem, the original. And he'll go there, and he knows everyone. So he'll go and he'll bring me back a handful of something from here. This is from the home of the Blessed Mother. So it's really kind of intense. So I have many wonderful things that are here now. So many relics of St. John Paul and Archbishop Sheen, very popular. But Carlo, right now, Carlo Acutis, the most popular. People come looking to see his relic and to receive a relic prayer card of Carlo Acutis. Amazing.
Well, Father, I only have a moment left. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that? How do they track you down?
Sure. If you go to the website, you can actually contact me at holyrelics@outlook.com.
Holyrelics@outlook.com.
Right, yeah, and great. If you go to the website, you'll see that what's there. There's a list of what cards that are available, and when we're open a couple days, regularly throughout the year, but then also by appointment, by scheduling. I have several groups coming in, and some places some people are traveling a bit of a distance. Yeah, so it's impressive.
The Lord's given you a beautiful ministry, Father. It's amazing how it has all developed. HolyRelics@outlook.com, of course, HolyMartyrsChurch.org, and scroll down a little bit on the homepage. You can find it there. Father, thank you for being with us.
You're
welcome. Give us your blessing before you go? We have about 30 seconds.
Absolutely. Let us pray. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Through the intercession of your holy saints, O Lord, holy men and women who've gone before us, whom you give us as our examples and models of holiness, we ask your blessing. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you, Father.
Really, you're welcome. Always
really
a pleasure.
God bless you.
All right. God bless.
Say a prayer for Father Jason Kolchinski. You can also check out his website and his beautiful Holy Relic Tour. Stop by and visit. Pray there. May make a great little personal pilgrimage for you. When we come back, you're going to hear from a physician who's been on this program a lot. He just got his board certification stripped.